The rule, meditation. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with meditation. The rule, meditation. All of us can follow the rule and meditate, but do we? Do we meditate? Do we really take time to listen within and go within and know within who we are? Do we really take the time to do that? And the answer is no. And the reason that we don't is because it just is not convenient. It's not convenient to stop and think about what we're thinking about all the time. Now, what do I think about all the time? I can only ask myself, I can't ask anybody else, because other people think about what they think about, and I think about what I think about. Now, what do I think about all the time? Do I think about happiness? Do I think about abundance? Do I think about peace? Do I think about love all the time? What do I think about all the time? What sort of thoughts are in my mind all the time? Do I think about my ideal body? My vital, dynamic, alive? Do I think of that all the time? Do I think those sort of meditative thoughts? Well, if I do, then I have a vital, dynamic body. I have all things that are beautiful for me if I think about them. Now, my life is a perfect expression of what it is that I'm thinking about. So, if my life is abundance and happiness and health and harmony and peace and goodness, then that's what I'm thinking about. Because that's really what my life is. So, is my life all the abundance that I want? Oh, you always use more, can't we? Is my life all the health that I want? We can always use more health. Is my life all the relationships I want? We can always use better relationships with each other. Well, how do I go about getting them? Well, we say the rule is to meditate. Now, we all meditate. Whether we like it or not, we are all thinking all the time. We're thinking of one thing or another, and the things that we're thinking about are the things that we're getting. Well, I think about abundance, and I don't have abundance, you know. I think about wealth, and I don't have wealth. I think about money, and I don't have money. I think about Bill Gates and all the money he has, and I think, wasn't that wonderful, you know? I don't envy him. I just think that that's nice, you know? Now, do we? Do we think about abundance, or do we think about the lack of it? Do we think about that we don't have it, or that we do have it? Now, if we think that we don't have it, well, then we don't have it. And we don't. And if we think we do have it, then we do have it. But you say, well, that doesn't work that way. You cannot just think that I got money and then you got money. You cannot just think that I have a good bank account and I got a good bank account. If you can put in your mind that you have a good bank account, really, really, that you have a good bank account, and that your bank account is just overflowing for whatever your needs are, you never have to be concerned of writing a check. It's always there. You know, it's always there. Now, what can you conceive of yourself writing a check for? You cannot write yourself a check for $1 million, because you cannot conceive of that. You cannot. You cannot conceive of yourself writing a check for $100,000. You cannot even conceive of yourself writing a check for $1,000. But you can conceive of yourself writing a check for $100 or $500, but much more than that, perhaps not. So, start out with what you can conceive. And start out writing a check for $100, if you have $100 in your account. And then, spend it. And then, another time, think, okay, I'd like to have another $100. So, you write another $100 check, but make sure you got it in your bank. As you do this, you will be creating in your bank account those $100. You'll be creating in your bank account that amount of money that you think about in your mind. And if this is truly what you want, it'll work. Now, you say, I can conceive how that might work with mental things, you know, with things that are sort of emotional, mental, things like that. But physical things, really? Well, just think about it. We go back to our old friend walking on fire, you know. Maybe you haven't done it, but other people have done it. And they have told themselves that the fire is cool, wet moss, and they walk on it. Now, they have changed the very essence of that fire to cool, wet moss. Now, that's a big deal. That's a very big deal. They don't burn their feet. They don't burn their clothing. They don't burn anything. Somebody else can take a chicken and hold it over the fire, and it'll roast. Because the chicken, they haven't got the idea that it's cool, wet moss. Now, here's the next test. You think that that's cool, wet moss, and you walk across it, and you don't burn your feet. Can you take a chicken and hold it over that cool, wet moss and not have be cooked because it's cool, wet moss? Can you do that? I see. If you can do that, then you have made a tremendous stride in every area of your life. Now, the fact that you're mentally training yourself to walk at it and saying it's cool, wet moss for your feet is good. And mentally, to take your hands and put them down on the fire and have be cool, wet moss is good. Now, can you put a chicken over that fire and have it not be roasted? Well, I'll put the chicken over the cool, wet moss and it won't be roasted. Well, do you really believe that's cool, wet moss? Or do you believe that's fire that you have called cool, wet moss because you are master of it? Well, are you master of it relative to something other than yourself, like a chicken? Could you put a chicken over that fire, over that cool, wet moss, and not have it be cooked? Well, you see, we want to have our genius, our ability to say what things are like cool, wet moss for a fire in all areas of our life. And this is what meditation does. Meditation allows us to have these circumstances in all areas of our life. Now, why is it we can do them? Because all circumstances in life are an illusion. It's an illusion to have the fire. It's an illusion to have the cool, wet moss. It's an illusion to have a bank account. It's an illusion to not have a bank account. It's an illusion to have all these things. The federal government and state and national governments, you know, all governments, they're loaded with money that doesn't belong to them. It's in accounts that people forgot about, that people didn't know about. And it's billions and trillions of dollars that's available in these accounts. Well, now, it's there. Well, now, why don't you conceive of it being in your account? Why couldn't it be in your account just as well as in anybody else's account? Or in the state account, you know? That is from the people, not from what belongs to the state, like taxes. But, okay, why not visualize it as being in your account? Well, you say, that's just kind of hard to do. It's kind of hard for me to meditate on the idea that this money that doesn't belong to anybody is mine. Now, we train ourselves in doing this by saying, I'm independently wealthy. But you see, it doesn't mean a thing to us. It doesn't mean a thing when we say I'm independently wealthy, because we are thinking of money. We're thinking of, I'm independently wealthy and I have $100,000. Well, for some people, $100,000 would be peanuts, you know. But I'm independently wealthy. Any amount is peanuts, is wrong. I'm independently wealthy. In other words, whatever I choose to have in my world that needs an amount of money for, I have it. Whatever I choose to experience in my world, I have it. Now, I tell a story about Ellen and her husband. And her husband kept putting money in her credit card account, and she wouldn't spend it. He said, look, sweetie, I got $50,000 in your credit card account, you know, now spend it. And of course, he didn't really have $50,000 in her credit card account, because he's not going to put that money there until she spends it. And the minute she spends it, then he'll know it, and he'll put the money in there and not pay the taxes. But he's not going to let that money sit there and not earn interest. You know, he's not a fool. But the thing is, she didn't know all these details about what he wouldn't do, or what he did do. She didn't know all of that money business. And so she just felt that that was money that she couldn't spend, because it really shouldn't, you know. And they had everything. So, but her consciousness would not let her enjoy them. Little by little, we're getting her out of it. And it's not an easy task, because once you have this thing stuck away in your mind, that money is hard to come by, or money is tough, then it's tough. But children who are raised in wealthy families, they don't think anything about it. And wives or husbands who have wealth, they think nothing about it. Nothing about it. And why is it that Steve Jobs and the guy who heads Microsoft, and the guy who heads Google, the guy who heads Google, do you know what they earn? $1 a year. $1 a year. Of course, they get lots of other perks and things like that, but as a salary, they get $1 a year. So, isn't that interesting? I wonder what their taxes are on $1 a year. But $1 a year. Now, that is merely a, what would you say, a symbol, purely a symbol. It had nothing to do with, you know, $1 a year. Well, $1 wouldn't even pay for a cup of coffee. And so it used to be 5 cents for a cup of coffee, not too long ago. But things change. Okay, now, do you think that they are poor people? And it said, what is the airplane that the head of Google uses, and what's the airplane that the head of Apple uses? Well, Apple uses some V command jet super being, and Google used some other super jet thing, you know, that they skirt around the country going from here to there and stuff. Well, what do they think? Is it theirs to use for whatever they want? Sure. That's one of their perks. Their perks is they can go and they can take their family along and they can do anything they want. But they don't need that. They've got more money than the company they work for owns, you know, basically. But they see, they live in this, they're living in the consciousness of abundance. They're living in the consciousness of a successful business, of a successful enterprise. And they live in wealth. Now, can you, can I live in that mental state of wealth that they live in? You know, like Bill Gates with his tremendous amount of wealth. Can we live in that mental state of wealth that they have? And many of them have a lot like that. Now, what does that mean to those people? Well, those people have one statement which I think is very, very vital. And I know that you may disagree with me, but they have one statement that's very vital, and that statement is absolute integrity, absolute honesty. They wouldn't steal a nickel. They wouldn't steal a penny from anybody. They pay their way. They are responsible people in every way. And if it says, and 1 cent, they put that 1 cent on there. May cost them more money to put the 1 cent on there than 1 cent is, but the thing, they do that. Now, do we have that integrity within us? The integrity that stands up for principle like they do. Do we have that? And of course we don't. We don't have that because we have not been tested. We have not been tested with some tremendous amount of money. It reminds me so much of Dorothy Zimmerman, and I said to her, now, if you found if you found $1,000 bill, you know, or if you found a bundle of money laying in the road, there's nobody around, anywhere around, and nobody going to come around. And if you don't pick up that money, it'll blow away, or somebody else will come along and take it, you know. Would you pick it up and take it? Oh, yes, yes. It's not yours? Oh, yes. It has absolutely... I take it to the police. Well, see, right away, you take it to the police so the police could find out that it doesn't belong to anybody so you could have it, you know. Because that's what you're doing. You're not taking it to police so they can find out who it belongs to. Because you know they're not going to find out who it belongs to. Maybe. Unless they tell you another story. But, again, what is your integrity? Do you ever touch anything that doesn't belong to you? Do you ever claim anything that doesn't belong to you? Whether it's a pencil or whether it's a dollar that's laying in the street, they just blow away. It doesn't belong to you. It does not belong to you. Can you pick up a dollar in the street that doesn't belong to you? It's none of your business. What if you picked up some diseased item in the middle of the street because you thought it was interesting, you know? What if you picked up some condom in the middle of the street that had been used by some diseased person, and then you got the disease? You said, I never did anything. How did I get the disease? Well, you're taking something that doesn't belong to you. You're fooling with something that doesn't belong to you. We should never touch anything that doesn't belong to us. Well, I have to clean up the street. Well, use a broom, you know, whatever it is. But if you're going to take it with the idea that, you know, you're going to check and see what it is and see if you want to keep it or not, it doesn't belong to you now. That's a very tough burden for any of us. In our meditation, do you ever take a thought in your mind that says, I don't feel good? You ever take a thought in your mind that says, I'm unhappy? You ever take a thought in your mind that says, I'm sick, or I've got a problem? You know, do you ever take, just for a minute, you take, well, that's the same thing. That's a lack of integrity. That's taking something into your mind, into your being, into your meditation that does not belong to you. And then you start experiencing that very thing, and you say, I wonder why that happened to me. You know, I mean, I've always been a nice person, and I always think good thoughts. Well, for a moment, you claim something that didn't belong to you. You look at another person, you see them sick or unhappy, and you see them sick or unhappy. It doesn't belong to you. Don't take it. Don't take it in your consciousness. In your consciousness, only take the thought that everything is in divine order. All is good and very good. All is beautiful. And that person, whoever they may be, I see them surrounded by joy and harmony and peace. I see them whole and perfect. I see them wealthy. You know, that's hard to do because we haven't started with ourselves. Because we teach our children this little phrase. Finders keepers, losers weepers. You ever heard that? Finders keepers. We all heard it. Finders keepers, losers weepers. Finders keepers. You, whatever you find, you keep it. And whoever lost it, ha-ha, they lost it. Goodbye. Well, if we were to teach, we don't touch ever anything that doesn't belong to us. We do not touch anything ever that doesn't belong to us. What a change that would make in our whole world. Starting with ideas. We don't take ideas that don't belong to us. Ideas like illness or unhappiness, that doesn't belong to us. We don't want ideas in our mind that are unhappy. Now, I heard your brother is dying. You say, not my brother. My brother is healthy as a fox, you know. He's just fine. Well, that's what I heard. Don't let it in your mind. Don't even invite it into your mind. My brother is whole and perfect. My brother is fantastic. Then they come back later and they say, oh, there's somebody else I was talking about. Oh, yeah, thanks a lot. You made me worry. You shouldn't have worried. You should not have accepted into your consciousness something that was not your brother is not ill. Your brother's not dead, you know. Now, if you want him to be dead, if you want that, well, then you start thinking that, you know, and you'll create it, and he'll have it, and you killed him, or you made him sick, or you made him rich. How about that? Or you made him whole and perfect. Now, we can do all those things, all by our choice, all by our words, all by our attitudes. But it all goes back to the one point. What's your integrity? Is your integrity wholeness, purity, health, abundance, goodness, or is your integrity that there is lack, there is unhappiness, there is poverty in this world? If that's your integrity, then have at it. You got it. But that's not our integrity. That's not our integrity. That's not where we are. And that's not where we're going. We live a life of harmony, peace, goodness, truth, love, honesty. So, take that integrity into your heart, which I know you already have. And you too can hold a chicken over cool wet moss, and it won't be roasted. Because your concept of the cool wet moss will be all-inclusive. And how wonderful that is. And your brother is not sick or dying, you know, he's whole and perfect. Yeah? And all is good and very good. And I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you. I love you.